All right, everybody, welcome back to Out of Our League with Ben and Benny, presented by Backseat Coach. Geno Smith is the future of the Seahawks. I just want to say it. I was watching the game yesterday, and he looked elite. Also, the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. And Notre Dame is at $1.2 million because they stink. We will also round out the episode asking all the important questions like, does anybody really understand what their career is or what anybody else's career is? So let's get after it.
I have a quote this week. It's from, I think, arguably the funniest PG movie of all time, Kickin' and Screamin'. Coffee is the lifeblood that fuels the dreams of champions. Mike Ditka.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Out of Our League. And I know we said that we probably wouldn't talk about baseball a lot, but when the Sox beat the Yankees in an elimination game, you have to talk about baseball.
Yep. We could get swept in this round, and I do not care. Anytime. What did I say in one of my, I think one of my historical tidbits was, now we're tied with them, playoff record all time. So 12-12. All I got to say is, it's, you know, in the modern age, in the era that matters the most in today's day and age, the Red Sox are on top. Forget the 27 rings. All that matters is what's happened since 2004.
They always bring that up, the 27 rings, when like eight of them were in the 1800s or whatever it was. But
I can't say anything as a Celtics fan, because that's where a lot of our bread and butter was made too. So I just kind of give them a tip of the cap and then just try to argue post 2000 who's a better team.
That's perfect. I don't know how much of the game you watch, Benny, but I watched inning 1 through 9, and I was worried at the start. I think the first Carlos Stanton, I don't know, whatever. They lost, they're out of playoffs, doesn't matter. his first at bat, I know he had like torched the Sox in their last series. His first at bat was just an absolute bomb that hit off the tip of the Green Monster. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a long night. But he started home run trotting when he hit it and only got a single out of it. So I was like, well, maybe not.
That's a note for all the kids out there, is that you hustle it out regardless. You just start running. I don't want you watching the ball if you hit it.
Especially if you hit it towards the Green Monster, right? Like, yeah. I understand if you jack like a 500-foot home run, you can trot a little bit. But if you hit it towards a line drive towards the Green Monster, you should probably at least hustle a little bit.
This is why you care about the regular season. You get the home field advantage in the wild card game. And then you get the ridiculous Green Monster that is so high that for whatever reason just blocks most home runs over left field. But hey, I love it. I love smacking down the Yankees. I've been very fortunate, because my earliest memories, I have none of the early Red Sox 86 year drought struggle. So I've only been witness to this. So I'm just happy to see it continue.
It's only winning. Yeah. I mean, on a serious note though, they actually really did beat up on the Yankees. I think the score ended up being 6-2, and Gerrit Cole did not pitch well, and yeah,
it was Judge, the call to send. I think it was Judge to home. That's obviously the one that really stuck out there. And then there was a funny, because it was like the inverse with the Red Sox, because the third base coach, I forget who was coming home, but he like stopped him, and then he told him to go. He gave him like a stop and go. So it was it was kind of not a blowout, but it got to a point. I think after that inning, I think that was the sixth inning, it was pretty clear that the Red Sox were gonna take care of business.
Yeah, the Yankees couldn't get anything done offensively. And this might be recency bias, just because the last baseball game that I watched was the Red Sox, but I think they're going to win the pennant this year.
Ooh, I like that. I'm not going to lie to you. It might be recency bias, but I like that you're sticking up for your homer, your former residential, your probably should be favorite city. I'm glad you're sticking up for Boston, but I don't know. I feel like the Rays are kind of a wagon, so they'll probably... they'll probably beat the Red Sox. I don't know how many games, but
gotta have confidence, Benny. You gotta have confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also gotta be realistic. All I care about is that they beat the Yankees.
The Twins aren't in it, so I don't have to be realistic.
This team wasn't expected to actually perform. They're already kind of playing with house money at this point. They're already outperformed their expectations. So everything here is just, you know, cherry on top.
There you go. And that is baseball talk until somebody wins.
Enough. That's all there is. Actually, there's some later in the show. I got a little bit more for you.
Oh, all right. A little teaser. And I would just like to say that I am so happy that I did not apologize to the Pac-12, because I called it. Number three, Oregon loses to Stanford, underranked Stanford. This happens every year. You think that the Pac-12 is going to make it to the playoff. You think Oregon's finally going to do it. And they lose to Stanford. Like, the Pac-12 cannot get out of their own way.
Yeah, they just cannibalize themselves. I feel like every time a team's good, an unranked team that's usually at the bottom of the conference will take them out, which is just, yeah, do they just keep, what was the last great Pac-12 team? Was it probably Oregon with like the mid-2010s?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. I think the inaugural year of the playoff, Washington made it into the playoff, but they got smacked by Alabama first round.
Oh, right.
But I would say the last like premier Pac-12 team was that Oregon team. Yeah.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota, Oregon, right?
Yes. Yeah. Chip Kelly. And that's yep. That's all. I'm just throwing names out there that I remember. But yeah, I feel like this was sort of inevitable. I mean, after Ohio State, you kind of had a little sliver of hope. But yeah, kind of bummed out. I've always liked Oregon's jersey, so I kind of wanted to see them just based off of my dumb bias there. I want to see them go pretty far, but alas, the Pac-12 lets us down again.
Always will let us down until they prove us otherwise. And also college football, Cincinnati beats up on Notre Dame and is now, I believe, ranked fifth in the country. They definitely are going to have, probably in the last 10 years or like since the college football playoff has happened, and in the next 10 years, they will probably be the team that will have the best chance to make it as a non-power five, I would say.
Yeah, but I know. I feel like this always happens, and then they could go undefeated, and then there still could be like – it's always those like major conference one-loss teams that always throw me off. But, I mean, Notre Dame's a really good win. That's usually – that was like the argument against UCF, right? It's usually like they were going undefeated, but their wins weren't typically that outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, they could crack – they should crack the top four this week because Iowa and Penn State are playing, right?
Yeah.
And they should win their game. I don't know who they're playing. It's probably a bad team. But.
Yeah, I know. I kind of always want – I feel like you actually kind of alluded to it earlier talking about Washington, although that is Pac-12. I do think what the inevitable thing is if they make it to the playoffs, which is obviously still a huge accomplishment, is there's such a lack of parity in college football that it's still just going to get smacked down whoever ends up getting in. But that's not the point. The point is the equitable chances to make it to the college playoffs. And I should stop being so negative.
You're definitely right. They probably will get smacked. But what fourth seed doesn't get smacked outside of Alabama the one year they were the fourth seed? You know what I mean? Like
fair.
Every year you can tell – the team that's – it's usually Oklahoma or Notre Dame, actually, that's going to get smacked as the fourth seed. So I just want to see Cincinnati in it. Like, I just want some new teams. I thought Oregon was going to make it this year, and then they disappointed me, of course.
It is one of those years, though, that it's really – it's kind of for Cincinnati's taking, like having this win underneath their belt, and then also teams that are traditionally powerhouses that go – undefeated or have won losses in like the conference championships are losing a lot more frequently. So I feel like they really could be their worst enemy in terms of how this plays out. Like if they take care of their business, it's going to be hard to keep them out.
Yeah. And I mean, especially because the Big Ten is really strong this year and they could beat up on each other a lot. So like, for example, Michigan's 5-0, Penn State's 5-0, and Michigan State and Iowa are all 5-0 in the Big Ten. Top, and they're all top 11, I believe. So it could be where, like, you know, again, like you said, one of the big conference one loss teams, like, you know, let's say Iowa loses and then wins out, will make it. But if a team has a quality win over Notre Dame, like by 10 points at Notre Dame, you have to let them in, right? Like you have to. And the real kicker for me is Notre Dame paid them $1.2 million to come play.
This is our favorite topic. How much money can we pay you to beat us? Is unbelievable.
It's like, granted, you don't think when you think great college football teams, you don't think Cincinnati, but they are like a higher level, you know, always top of their conference, you know, football team. Why would you pay them $1.2 million? Why would you not pay Drake University in Iowa $1.2 million to come play you for a free win. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Cincinnati doesn't seem like a school that you come, that you would just intuitively, it's not a school that you would pay to come play you. There's too great of a risk of you actually losing to pay the money to come play you. It's not like a Tulsa or other schools that typically get play like Clemson or like in week two. Like, it's like you don't pay Cincinnati to come into you to beat you.
Yeah, Northeastern Louisiana State or something like that. Yeah.
North, yeah.
But I'm pulling for Cincinnati this year. I'm pulling for them. Let's hope they make the playoffs. I hope they do.
Me too. I like, yeah, get a little mix up in here. It's a weird college football season, so let's make it even weirder.
Exactly. I love that. Now a little bit of NFL here. This is the only thing I'm going to say about this game. The Cardinals are undefeated. I don't think they should be undefeated, but they're undefeated.
Are they, do you believe in them?
No, they're the NFC equivalent to the Bills for me. And that could be like a really stupid mistake because the Bills are 3-1 and the Cardinals are 4-0. But I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because the Vikings should have beat them, but they missed the 37-yarder. I don't know. It just, something about the Cardinals seems off to me.
That's fair. And I think also with the Bills, I'm your original take, I was very much against. I thought the Bills were going to be great, and I still do think they're very good, but I also feel like they're kind of cushioned a little bit with their easy start to the schedule. And also the Pittsburgh loss now in retrospect is a little odd, and it could be a week one. Who knows what ends up happening, but I don't know how good we're going to see this week. Definitely for sure. And we'll talk about that game later, how good the Bills are. But the Cardinals, I'm not buying them either. There's some reason I just don't trust the Cardinals to keep this up.
I'm the same way, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. And here's a little basketball football comparison here.
You're making this one, not me.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like Kyler Murray and Josh Allen are kind of like Giannis to me, right? Pre them winning the championship, right? Because yeah. I mean, obviously Giannis is an excellent player and he won the MVP, but like he never led his team to the championship. And so until he actually did that, I didn't think it was going to happen. And it might be the same thing with Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. Like, they are great and they're probably going to make the playoffs, but they won't lead. I need to see them lead their team to a championship to believe it. It's like Santa. You know, I got to see it to believe it.
It's the exact same thing. I think it's even a better comp than Giannis. I know what you mean. I feel like, honestly, even if Kyler Murray's holding up like the Lombardi Trophy at the end of this, I think we'll still just be like, I don't know. I don't think he can do it. I don't think it's a championship team. But that's a pretty good comp. Giannis is a good one. And then, honestly, unfortunately, they're too young to be compared to Chris Paul. So yeah, I like that. Well, I like the Giannis comparison. But yeah, I'm not sold on the Cardinals yet. I really probably should be, but I'm gonna wade in these waters cautiously.
Yeah. And I feel like it's definitely one of those things too, where they've played one of their divisional games, but they still have to play the Rams twice, the Seahawks again,
yep,
and the 49ers twice, I think.
I think.
Play the 49ers?
They played the Rams, so I think it's.
Oh, they played the Rams.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm all mixed up.
Regardless, they still got to go through a lot of the NFC.
They played the Rams, yeah. And historically, that conference beats up on each other a lot, so they're going to lose at least, you know, two of the remaining five divisional games. So I don't know. Just don't believe in them.
Yeah. I'm out. If you're out, I'm out. How's that? We'll pack here. We'll both be out.
Perfect.
Excellent.
But the opposite of the Cardinals, a 1-3 team that actually looked really good against one of the better teams in the NFL was your hometown Patriots. Should have won that game. It's like a tough weather game, but Mac Jones looked excellent.
This should be 3-1 Patriots. They fumbled at like the 11-yard line in week one. And then this game, I don't know. The kick had the distance. It just a freaking crossbar. But maybe you like to see them go for it there. You really don't know, just because, I don't know. I feel like Mac was playing well too. You might as well keep the ball in his hands. That's a long field goal. I think that would have tied his career long too, if I'm not mistaken. But I was very pleasantly happy with how the Patriots played, and especially Mac, like with such an atmosphere too of having the guy who you're replacing, like the most, one of the most beloved sports figures of all time in that area, and then coming into now your home arena to play a game like that. There's a lot of emotions going on there. You can definitely see with Brady a lot. He was kind of like throwing the ball over the place a little bit, but I was very impressed. I love Judon on the Patriots defense. He's an absolute beast, but I really thought they had it too, but there was the thing again where it's just like you give Brady any time, he's going to march down and get a touchdown or field goal. So it was very weird watching him do like break my heart as opposed to the other way around where I'm just rooting for him to break hearts left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you touched on it a little bit, but that it was like third and five incomplete pass. And then they brought out Folk for the, 56 yarder or whatever it is. I don't know why you don't, like, have a surefire way to get like a couple, like, why don't you run the ball there? I don't know. Maybe they weren't running the ball well all night, but it always kind of throws me off when like people are either going to go for it on fourth down or going to kick a really long field goal. Why wouldn't you want to get like a couple more yards, to either kick that field goal or set up a more manageable fourth down, but they threw it like, downfield a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I know. I thought it might have been fourth down too, which is why they went for the kick. But still, it was.
No, I'm saying on the third down before that. So like it was third and five.
Yeah.
And then it was an incomplete pass, and then they tried out the kicker for his career long. Why don't you get a couple more yards to make it either a slightly more manageable field goal, or if you were planning on going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it earlier talking about the run defense, because they were, like you were saying too, they could, I mean, that their D line is freaking stacked too. And like, but also that, thank you for saying that, because that brings up another good point where their corners were depleted as hell. You had Richard Sherman, who was just walked off the street 3 days earlier. So you might as well just try you might as well try another pass there, but it just wasn't meant to be. It was in the rain. There was a lot of different elements going on, but it was, I'm honestly glad that was an emotional roller coaster. I'm glad it's over. I felt like I was like Ron Burgundy in the phone booth there.
Now you can just focus on milk was a bad choice, by the way, but now you can just focus on the rest of the season. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I can focus on the Texans. And then if we lose to the Texans, I'll just burn all my Patriots jerseys.
New York is back too. Jets and Giants both win against the Titans and the Saints respectively, which is, it's not like the Giants beat the Jets or something like that. Two quality wins out of New York there.
Yeah. What's going on with the Saints? I feel like, not to immediately transition away from New York, but that was an interesting ending down there.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with them. Like, I feel like everybody's like, oh, the Saints are a wagon when they absolutely whipped up on the Packers week one. And now they're kind of in and out. Nobody really knows. It could be one of those. Maybe it's just Jameis. Jameis teams are destined to be like right around 500 and just have some crazy plays, crazy fumbles, crazy interceptions. That might be it.
Have some insane wins and then also regress back to the mean and have like losses to the Giants in overtime. But hey, New York after, well, I guess this was before the Yankees lost, but it's good New York got something going this week. Cause that just would have been a tough pull if you had all three teams lose. Jets, and not to transition next week, but now the Jets got to go to London too and get one of those like 9:45 games in there.
All right, do you like those games? Like, do you think that makes any sense? I mean, I tune into like the end of it. I always forget they're on.
Me too. Yeah, that's what I mean.
But like, wouldn't that suck as an NFL player? It's kind of like Thursday night football, right? Like, you play on Sunday and then you got 3 days to get ready for another game. Why are we flying these people, these teams, 6 hours out to play in front of like people who don't even care about football that much?
Yeah. And I was thinking about this too. Exactly. It was like, why is the ball not round? I was thinking about this too earlier. Like, they can't really even enjoy the trip. It's not like they can go sightseeing, right? Like, when did they even fly in? I was like, do they fly in earlier in the week so they get adjusted to the time zone? Like, I don't know. I would personally, it's hard to be like, oh, I wouldn't enjoy playing a football game in an international arena, but I just feel like the time zone is such a hassle for those guys.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I think it's definitely a money-making thing for the NFL, which when you don't know the answer, it's always money, but
that's it.
Let's see if the Jets can get it done in London.
I think they will. Because Calvin Ridley's not playing. Is someone else not playing for the Falcons?
Oh, Russell Gage.
Yep. So I don't know. I actually wouldn't be shocked if the Jets won again. Get a little bit on a roll.
Jets revenge tour. Over, I don't know what their revenge would be for being bad for the last 10 years.
Yeah, just maybe against just like Joe Namath. I don't know. Just like against past success. That's what their revenge is.
Revenge for Geno Smith, because Geno Smith played so well for the Seahawks.
Yep. Now they have to show out. Revenge for the butt fumble. I got it. That's the one right there.
There you go. Ah, I love it.
Also, who the heck's gonna win? Who the hell's gonna win the AFC South?
All right, who's in the AFC South? I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
It's Jacksonville, Texans, Colts, and Titans.
Oh God, it's gonna be the Titans, probably. Right?
I've been murmurings of Colts buzz, very quietly, but murmurings of it.
I don't know. Is Carson Wentz playing yet? I don't know.
We got to check back in the medical quarter, see how his ankles are holding up.
I haven't caught up with Carson Wentz's injury status recently, but I mean, they have a really good offensive line and a really good defense, so it could be them, but I don't know. I feel like the Titans will – I feel like I just always bet on Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's certainly a safe bet. And it's probably going to be the Titans, but it's such a – that division, when was the last time that division was like a very strong, strong division? When was the last time it was like the NFC West or like the AFC West? Like, I can't even think back. I know. There's usually like two atrocious teams in it at any given time.
Well, the Jags.
They were good for like a year. AFC
championship that one year, but were the Colts good that year? I don't remember. I think it's you're like, right. I think there's always one. Two really bad teams and one good, because the Texans with Deshaun Watson were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple of years or whatever it was. And then the Jags were good. Colts were good with Peyton Manning and the Titans.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah. And the Titans have been up and down recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, I don't think they'll ever have a completely strong.
No, there'll always be be two people just holding it down. And then the Jaguars are just that's a whole dumpster fire down there too.
Oh my God. I don't even want to comment on Urban Meyer.
He'll be in college soon enough.
What are you doing? So stupid. All right, let's preview some games here.
Excellent.
Start out with college, because I really want to preview this one. We got number 3 Iowa versus number 4 Penn State at Iowa. And I believe Penn State is +1.5 or +2, somewhere around there.
+1.5. I'm going to go with Penn State.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Penn State. What about? And I'll. My logic is mainly because this is a dumb. I'm just going to tell you right now. This is from a dumb sports perspective. Oh wow, I can't believe I'm saying this. I trust the brand. Like, I just trust the Penn State as a football organization to kind of win this one. I know it's in Iowa, but I also like the value. It's not really great value, but still, I just like them as underdogs on the road, pulling this one out.
Okay. I'm going to take Iowa.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because I've seen some clips of their center recently, which is a position I played in college, for those of you that don't know.
But so not biased at all.
And so I this, so I kind of understand is what I'm saying. I've seen some clips of him making ridiculous blocks down the field. Like, as a center, it is so hard to like get outside on an outside run and lead up for the running back, because they're just going to outrun you because you're fat and slow. But he is just booking it like 20 yards down the field, knocking guys over. So I'm going to take Iowa because I love the clips of their center.
All right. I love it. These offensive linemen are insane. I feel like they're getting insanely athletic. Not that the offensive lineman has always been athletic, but I just feel like in terms of like speed and quickness and like agility, I feel like that is something at the position that's just been like really developing over the past handful of years.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the value now is how fat can you get and maintain your athleticism?
Wilfork.
Like, yeah, exactly. You'll see like 310-pound Lane Johnson, who can run like a 4.8 and just ridiculous athleticism. So like the era of the space eater offensive lineman is kind of over. You need to be able to, but I mean, like, it makes sense because, like, you see a guy like Myles Garrett and you're like, oh my God, you need somebody athletic to block him.
Yeah. It's a combination of like the more athletic defensive lineman too, and in terms of also probably blocking for longer too, with like more mobile quarterbacks and also like different types of schemes like that too. I feel like might be a whole trifecta there. But anyways, all right. So this is nice. I'm going to Penn State, you're going to Iowa. $100,000. I will bet, and I hope you match.
I'll call my bank right now.
Beautiful. Insufficient funds.
Insufficient funds for sure. All right, we got Browns versus Chargers.
Mm.
That's another game. Chargers are -1.5.
I'll Where's start. The game?
It's at the Chargers, I believe.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Browns +1.5.
I was also going to take the Browns. I was gonna go like a little inflated head Chargers theory here and just think there's a lot of like good press coming their way, and they are a really good team. But I don't actually know what the Browns have showed me to take the Browns. Like, obviously their defense is insane, but like, especially the game against the Vikings, which you went to, I feel like the offense was kind of a little sluggish too. But this seems like a game, not necessarily like a big home field advantage either for the Chargers. So I kind of like the Browns here.
Okay. Yeah. Same way. I think my logic, which doesn't make any sense, is the Browns have a good defense. The Chargers have a good offense. For some reason, defense trumps offense. And I feel like a good defense can cover up a good offense better than a good offense can overcome a good defense.
Ah.
Is that an idiotic take? I feel like coming out of my mouth, it sounded crazy.
No, I think it kind of transformed me back to like algebra too. I feel like I need like a whiteboard behind you so we can really get this math down. No, I kind of know what you're saying, because like because a high-flying offense can just trump a trash defense all day of the week. But if you have, like, I'm thinking, like, those, like, Seahawks defenses or, like, the Broncos and, like, the Ravens, if we're going way back, like, I feel like if you have a really, really good defense, it can definitely stagnate the offense pretty well, like, more so than the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. It's definitely going to be a good game. I feel like the Chargers have been in good games, like, literally every single week. So
yeah.
We'll see if they can do it again. But I'm taking the Browns.
I like it.
All right. Cardinals versus 49ers. The 49ers are +5.5. And Trey Lance is starting.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Cardinals. I actually, you know what's kind of messed? I just talked earlier about how I don't believe in the Cardinals. But at the same time, I feel like this is the game I'm going to take the Cardinals, and then it might be like a Trey Lance is actually a pretty good game, and I might regret it. But I am gonna ride with the Cardinals having this hot streak for a little bit. It might not be this week that they start tapering off.
All right, I'm going to take the Niners +5.5.
I had a feeling you would.
I think that it'll be a close one. Oh, I don't know. Gosh.
Division
I'm gonna
game.
Take the Niners. I'm going to take the Niners.
All right, do it. Yeah, probably like a field goal maybe.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
And then we got Bills versus Chiefs. Chiefs are -3.
-3, huh? This seems like a 7 to I feel like this is a 7-point game. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have had a tougher beginning schedule, and you said, is it in Arrowhead?
Yes.
Okay. I like the Chiefs. I think they're a lot better. I think the record is kind of throwing people off the scent a little bit. I think they're still just so loaded and probably will still win their division.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Chiefs as well. I feel like it's definitely one of those trap games where, like, you know, the Bills blew out the Dolphins, and then the Texans, yeah. So you're like, oh my gosh, the Bills are gonna whoop up on the Chiefs. But I'll take the Chiefs -3.
Perfect.
We're always of the same mind, Benny. Almost always.
Almost always. All right, perfect. Now we'll, as I'm getting it. So is that it for games this week?
Yes, that is
kind of an interesting slate of games. It's kind of one of those weeks that it's not just like a get through this week, but I feel like there's like not a ton of like great games.
Yeah. You know,
they have the one nightcap that's really good, but.
Yeah, no, Sunday night, Monday night is really good for sure, but.
Yeah. All right, perfect. So we'll transition over to our segments. We're going to hop to my historical corner, And we're going to go back to baseball, believe it or not, twice in one show, which is pretty astounding. But
it's the way.
I'm going to hop over to the National League because I kind of was looking into this the other day because it was pretty insane. The Dodgers were a 100-win team that still had to play a wild card game. And the only – yeah, so now they're matched up with the Giants. I think the Dodgers have like 106 wins, Giants have like 107. And I guess they're also – it's a terribly bitter rivalry, I guess, too. Like I had like no idea about any of that, but
– NorCal versus SoCal, baby.
There you go. The battle of the fish tacos is that's what they're calling it.
I think it's – sorry, side note. I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Go ahead.
I think it's hilarious how California people are like, no, I live in NorCal or I live in SoCal. I don't know why that's funny. Continue.
No, we also got that tip. I want to shout out our good friend Carl because we got a tip that never call California Cali because then you're going to sound like an absolute fraud. No one from California calls it Cali. So that's for everyone out there listening right now. We give you liquid gold in this podcast, so don't call it Cali. All right. Anyways, this is what makes it historical. So the Dodgers are only the third 100-win team ever to have to settle for like a wild card spot. The other two were the 2001 Oakland Athletics and then the 2018 New York Yankees who lost to the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
And yeah, I just think it's kind of insane to just think of the fact that with this like wild card format that with only three teams guaranteed to be in the playoffs that you could – you know, if you're kind of shit out of luck like the Dodgers and end up in the same division as the Giants, then you could have like 15 more wins than another division winner and still end up playing in the wild card game, which is insane. And I think like it kind of shows to the fact of that when you look at there's only been two other teams that happened to. Even crazier, 1993 Giants and 1980 Baltimore Orioles didn't even make the playoffs despite having over 100 game win season. I don't know how that happened, but that's. I just think it's I think it's pretty insane.
That is insane because I feel like in baseball you always hear like the 100-win team, you know, the 100-win team are the teams to look out for. So that's pretty crazy. Obviously, naturally, the Dodgers are really good because they had 106 wins. But like I always kind of just thought the Dodgers were like a shoe-in for their like, you know, the championship. Not the pennant race, but their divisional championship. Is that the word I'm looking for? Regardless. Yeah. And the Giants kind of came out of nowhere. So I love that tidbit, Benny.
Yeah, that's a little fun fact for it. I'm the same way where I check into baseball probably around about the same amount of times as you do. And I just always anticipate the Dodgers are good and like are favorites to win the World Series. So, but I mean, 106 wins, they probably still are. Like this is an insane NLDS to have two teams that are 100 win teams.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's might tempt me to watch a little bit of baseball. Ooh. Probably not, but
maybe. No, don't go that far. I mean, I just think it's on. It's just a historical fact. We don't have to go insane here.
We don't have to actually do it.
All right. Now let's, what do we got for, we got some fact or fiction. Give me something that is most likely false. Give me, what do you got? What do you got for this week?
All right. Stanford football has the longest current winning streak against AP top three teams at four.
At four, the winning streak's four?
Four.
You're pulling at me. I'm going to say that's false.
True.
Fiction. In fact, we already misbranded I called it false. All right, it's true?
It is true. It's facts.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
What are the four teams?
Oh, wow. That's an excellent question that I'm not prepared for. I'm guessing it's probably... like what just happened where it was like, you know, Oregon's number three. It's like the Pac-12 team that gets ranked really highly and then Stanford beats them. I think it's most of them are probably Oregon. But it's definitely just like Pac-12 teams that are ranked way too high.
Yeah, that's honestly, I should have said true, just considering our Pac-12, very topical fact or fiction too, just considering our Pac-12 conversation earlier. I should have just anticipated they would just beat whoever the top ranked teams are in the Pac-12 every other year.
Yeah. Let's see.
I was going to say, while you're looking it up, why don't I give you my fact or fiction? And then
go ahead.
Perfect. All right. The Cleveland Browns had the longest postseason victory drought in NFL history.
Cleveland Browns?
Yep.
I'm going to say that's fact.
It is fiction.
Oh,
I kind of did a rope-a-dope on you. We also talked about this team pretty extensively on this podcast so far. The Arizona Cardinals have the longest postseason victory drought in NFL history. So this is non-Super Bowl era too. 1947 to 1998.
The Cardinals?
Yeah.
What?
So I don't know when the Cardinals were. I feel like the Cardinals are actually did not realize that they were 1947, but they also honestly that seems like a pretty far date for the Cardinals to be a team in. But yeah, 47 to 98.
Whoa, that is weird. Didn't they? Oh, I was gonna say like with Larry Fitzgerald, they went to a Super Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah, I feel like 2000s they've been crushing it, but I think up until then it's no bueno. So I saw that fact and I was like, you know what? This fits right in with today's pod.
I love that. And update, I couldn't find it. <That's> just perfect. every source I saw was like win streak of four against AP top three, and it doesn't actually tell me. So
you know what? I apologize for putting you on the spot there. That's not me being a good co-host. I left you out to dry, and that's on me.
No, that's okay. I would bet that it's four Pac-12 teams that were ranked too high.
That's
I
fair.
Would almost bet. I feel like I remember like within the last 5 years, it was another Oregon or Washington win.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah. That's probably
one when McCaffrey was there. They probably beat a top three team.
Yeah. Maybe sprinkle in a Notre Dame or something. Who knows? They probably got it. Yeah. All right. I like it. All right. Let's get theoretical. Let's get a little higher level here. Let's hop to the existential question of the week. Hit me with yours. What do you got?
All right. This one's a little meta here.
Okay. Oh, yep.
Not that they all aren't meta, but
some are more.
So when looking at the moon. So whenever I think about like working a job or like careers, just like working in general,
yep,
it doesn't make like sense to me as like a human race, right? Like, because what is the goal of the human race, right? It's to survive and to feel happiness or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So most people, I would venture to guess that a majority of people don't enjoy working 40 hours a week, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And when you get into the like the essence of jobs, like a lot of it doesn't really pertain to like survival, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, so I just don't really like understand. I understand that it's probably just the bureaucratic system that has, you know, developed over time into having to work 40 hours a week. Thanks, Henry Ford, by the way.
Oh, piece of shit. What did he ever do?
Yeah, nothing. Terrible cars. But it just like doesn't, I don't know. I don't think I'm making any sense.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. You're being like 9 to 5. What's actually what's the end point here? It just seems like a means to an end. You're working so you can eventually not work. You're working so you can build up enough money so you don't have to work anymore is essentially
exactly. Yeah. That's what the goal is
there. Yeah.
And like you like, so for example, let's say somebody's like, oh, I work as a photographer. Right. And that's 99.999% of jobs are like this. I'll say 100% because, you know, what does anybody really do anyway? But like when you think about that, you're like, well, how did that even come about? Right. Like, Why is photography something that leads to our survival? And it does indirectly because you make money off of photography. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just like turns around in my brain. I don't know.
Well, you can do it. You can do it for a number. If you really want to, if you really want to get in a pretzel, because I feel like I hope I'm not diverging too much. But if you think about this is like, if you get to the airport, someone has to drive to the airport. Why are you going to the airport? Because you have to go on a business trip. Okay. So why are you going on a business trip to make money? So eventually you can save up enough to retire. The pilot flies you because he's doing the same goal, but he's getting you from one spot to another. When you get there, the guy who's making dinner for you or the chef or whatever, it's all like cyclical. Everyone's just trying to work to save enough so they don't have to do what they're currently doing.
Exactly. It just doesn't make intuitive sense to me. And
no one should do anything ever.
Yeah. Like, Like, I think I saw a tweet where someone was like, why can't we just like hang out at the beach and vibe? And I was like, when you think about that, we could. Like, we really could. Like,
that's genius.
You could just like one, you know, every other day, you know, people work for like 4 hours to like make food or clean water or something. And then they take the next day off. And then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we should. This sounds like a good idea. I like where your head's at. Maybe we could take like grown-ups style breaks where like some of us chill and vibe and then the other half work. And then we just switch every other day.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Okay. You know what?
Chill and vibe.
We started at a point and now we're here. Just don't work. If you have a job, quit it and just vibe at the beach. So there you go. I'm locked in there. All right. My existential question is, it's not nearly as sophisticated, so I'm already upset about it, but like, what's up with, I know there's an answer. Why do some people drive on the opposite side of the road? And what's up with like inches and centimeters and like different measuring systems, Fahrenheit, Celsius, you know, military time versus, regular people time. I don't understand why there's different definitions for the same things. You could get real, if you want to get meta, you could say languages, but I'm going to say stick with like measuring systems.
Yeah.
Like why is it? Yeah.
Languages are crazy too. Sorry to diverge, but like we're talking right now and to think that like 6 billion people don't actually understand what we're saying, even though we understand so well, it just blows my mind. But
yeah, they're like, yeah, why are those two idiots just like babbling on? They could probably infer that.
The one that gets me is why doesn't everybody drive on the same side of the road?
Yeah.
Right? Like, wouldn't it be easier for car manufacturers to just make cars with the wheel on the same side? I don't know. 100%.
Look, yeah. I just remember when you and I were hanging out in a spot where we drove on the left side of the road, we were just yelling at our driver the whole time that I'd get on the right. Every time. But
yeah. Well, it's confusing.
Yeah, I know.
It just naturally you're gonna pull out, you know, to the now I gotta think what side of the road we drive
on. I know.
We drive on the right. So we were yelling left.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, we were yelling left. Yeah.
I already confused. If everyone drove on the same side, we wouldn't have this confusion. Jesus. All right, let's fix it. I don't know who we need to call to fix that, but let's fix it. Moving on.
I'm gonna call somebody. All
right. So that's a feeling. That is a feeling of frustration that I have here. But you know what? Let's go to some GOAT rankings and we'll talk about this week's topic for GOAT rankings is feelings. Yeah. And when we say feelings, I'll let Schultz run with this. You get first pick. And why don't you explain what we mean by feelings?
Okay. So the best way to explain it is by an example. So an example would be like the feeling of coming in after playing in the snow all day and warming up with a glass of hot chocolate. Or a mug of hot chocolate, rather. Right? Like, so it's like a feeling associated with a particular event.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like happiness or jealousy or whatever.
Excellent.
Emotions. It's not emotions. It's feelings.
Yep.
There we go.
There it is.
All right. And I'll give you the first pick.
Yep. You're going to give me the first pick.
I'm giving you the first pick.
All right. I'm going to play this strength because it's actually what I'm about to do in 6 minutes. It is the feeling of meeting up with a group of friends after a long work week, knowing that the next 2 days ahead of you are there's no work to be done. You have no responsibilities. You just meet up with all your friends. And I'll add this at the top, the sip of whatever first drink you're getting with your group of friends. That is that if you can capture that feeling and just inject that into my veins on like a Tuesday afternoon, I would take that every time.
That is an excellent pick, and it really hits home for me because I have midterms next week, so I'm not seeing anybody and studying all weekend, so I am extremely jealous that you get to do that. What an excellent feeling.
Excellent. Yeah, there we go. 1-1. On to you.
All right, my first pick, this is one that I don't get to do very often, but I love it. Not setting an alarm.
Oh, yep.
Even if you wake up at the same time, it's just so freeing going to bed at night, not setting an alarm. The feeling of not setting an alarm at night is unparalleled.
Yeah, that's like the thing where it's, especially on the weekends, where you're like, I don't need to set one for like 7 o'clock. I just don't have to touch my phone. I just go right to bed. And I'll wake up whenever I wake up. That's
exactly.
That's phenomenal. All right, wintertime. I'll set the scene for my second pick. Wintertime, really cold outside. Maybe you're coming in from work, coming in from whatever you're doing, shoveling outside. The feeling of hopping in immediately after coming out of the cold, of hopping in like a steaming hot shower, unparalleled.
So good. So good. You're a little bit numb because your limbs are still cold and you're warming them up with scalding hot water. Oh, excellent. And flip side, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you come in from a cold day and there's no warm water and you have to take a cold shower, terrible feeling.
Yeah, there's nothing worse.
Because you're just looking forward to it and then you're just like immediately even more cold than you were before. Awful.
Yeah, you're just going to be in a blanket for the next like 5 hours. Yep.
Exactly. Heated blanket. All right. Number two for me, I'm going to say the feeling of laying down on the couch post Thanksgiving meal with the Lions playing and just knowing you're going to fall asleep in about 7.5 minutes.
Oh yeah. That's iconic. I mean, yeah, there's nothing better than watching. This is going back a little bit. I know he's on the Rams now, but just watching Matt Stafford throw 50% chance of a touchdown interception while the turkey's slowly digesting in your system is just, absolutely iconic.
You're debating. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, unbuckle your pants. Just let it all hang out.
Well, not all of it. Okay.
Most of it. Like your belly. I don't know what you're referring
to. Okay. Thank you. But the contemplation of during commercial breaks, if you can maybe squeeze another piece of pecan pie in your belly is also exhilarating while you're drifting off to sleep.
Will I throw up after this one? Time will tell and I'll figure it out right now. That's
worth it.
That's good. Another one is, let me think. Oh, waking up in the morning. And you go over to the good old coffee machine. Your eyes, you're still a little crusty. And this will be the inverse of your alarm one, which is where it's like, all right, I need a jolt. I got to wake up. There's no way I can conquer this day. You get the first sip of coffee, however you take it. We're unbiased here. And it just, it sets you on the right path because it is just, it gets everything going. Makes you happy. Picks you up while it calms you down. It's a lifeblood that drives the dreams of champions full circle from the beginning.
The smell too, like when you get it going. Oh, so good.
Jesus.
I think just a whiff of coffee in the morning would wake me up at this point.
Honestly, I think that's like, I think when people kind of wean off coffee, I think they just smell it and then they just attack the day.
I could do that. Yeah. No, I couldn't. I'm lying.
No, let's see. That's not good. No, I'm not crazy here.
All right. My third one, I'm going to say taking off dress shoes after a long day of work or a wedding. Specifically a wedding too, because you're dancing in those really uncomfortable dress shoes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I like that's a good one too. Especially it's just like getting into comfy clothes in general after like any sort of event where you're like, oh Jesus, I'm not wearing a suit again for like years. And you just put on sweatpants. It's like the best. Yeah. It's the best feeling ever. Yeah. Something about maybe like getting off. I feel like two of ours is like getting off of work. There is just like no better feeling. Just being like, all right, I don't have to think about it. Always seems longer too. Even if it's like a Tuesday, you're like, I don't have to think about work for at least like 7 hours right now.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yep.
Amazing feeling.
Absolutely. Another feeling, another good one would be, how about, let me think here. I'm going to go, I made like an impromptu list. I would say falling in love. How about that? Just fall. Maybe, no, I'll go more specific. I'll be more specific about this one. I'll make it a romantic one. How about, I'll say this. I'm serious.
When you heard that was an intro to a song, I'm sorry.
It just started singing.
Falling in love.
Honestly, if you're crushing on somebody hard and there's whether you hear through the grapevine, they also like you, but like the anticipation of asking them out on a date and them saying yes, regardless how the date goes, that initial feeling of being like, I am the absolute man right now. And it's just like, you're on cloud nine. The girl you likes you back. I'm going to say there's no better feeling than that right there.
That is a good one. Yeah, you're on top of the world at that point in time.
Yep. Never happened to me, but I'm assuming one day it will. No one would ever love me. All right, on to you.
Gosh, falling in love. All right. I'll stick on the kind of soft note a little bit. Getting a compliment from somebody in person. And I want to explain it by saying this. Any compliment's wonderful, right? You know, any way that you can pick somebody up. But there's something about, like, you know, meeting up with somebody and they're like, oh man, like, you know, you're so, like, I don't know what it is, but like, oh man, you look great today. Like, have you lost weight or something like that? But like seeing somebody in person and having them say something about you, even if it's not necessarily like a physical characteristic, but if they're like, oh man, like, he's the nicest guy ever. Like, when you're there, so nice. Such a great feeling.
No, I like, it's like, it's honestly, because sometimes, especially if you're not feeling, maybe you're not feeling 100% fit, maybe for whatever reason, maybe feeling a little bit down about yourself and someone pulls you right back up. That's that's a great feeling right there. Can't counteract that one.
It's a wonderful one.
I know. All right. Let me think of my last one. I just had it. And then you threw that great one out there. Last feeling would be, I would say, like, this is, again, I don't want to sound soft twice in a row.
Do it.
I feel like when you actually help somebody, like, I feel like if there's like a situation where you kind of like step up, if it's like, there's a lot of people kind of sitting watching something happen and you're the one that steps up and like helps, like, I'll give you a very small, for instance, one time I was in Martha's Vineyard and there's this woman that everyone saw kind of like, she was having like trouble getting out of the water. Like, she was kind of almost drowning a little bit, hopped in, got her up, helped her out, just completely impromptu. And then the feeling, it's kind of similar to like, you're like people congratulating you thing or like saying you look good. It's just like, it's not why you do it, but it feels good to like help somebody. That's an extreme example, but it can be anything. Like, if somebody, I don't know, if somebody is just like, hey, I'm in a huge bind here, can you help me out? I actually feel good when I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I got your back, I can do this. Because you feel like a good friend.
So you're just telling me you're basically a lifeguard. And you said
yes. Yeah, I like the feeling of being a lifeguard.
Now that is a good one too. And like you said, even if it's something small too, like you know, somebody's struggling to carry their bags and you just carry a bag onto a car or something, that is a good feeling.
Makes you feel good. That's a better one. Yeah. It's like people, especially if like an older woman, it's just like, it's the best.
So that's such a good feeling. All right. Last one. I was between two, but I'm going to take this one and I'm going to preface this with, I am an extrovert. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So getting invited out when you have nothing to do that night and you weren't expecting to go out. So getting like a 7:30 text, like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Me and a couple of boys are heading out to the bar.
Yeah.
Such a good feeling. And I will reverse it for introverts when you are dreading going out and they cancel plans and you can stay in. It's the same sort of thing.
That's
right?
Perfect.
But both sides of the coin. The unexpected feeling of bliss you get when, like, you have no plans, but you kind of want there to be plans, and then somebody invites you to a plan is excellent.
Yep. That's a great one. That's great. Yeah. I honestly love the text, but you, even as an extrovert, if you're like, oh, I really want to hang out, I really want to stay in tonight, but you have plans, and then the other person cancels, then you feel good. Cause it's like, I didn't cancel these plans and I didn't want to go out anyway. So I feel great right now.
Yeah. That is unbeatable. Unbeatable.
I like that. All right. The only one I think that I missed, and I kind of regret not taking it with my fifth one, because I think it's better. I guess we'll go to the review board to see if I can swap it out. If you're looking forward to a particular food all day, if that's like on your mind all day, and then that first bite of it, if you're like, man, I really could just crush a buffalo chicken calzone. There's not, it's kind of specific, but, and then it's just like, at the end of the day, you take that first bite and it just settles in and you're like, this is all I've ever wanted. I could die a happy man right now, or woman.
That is a great one. Yeah. Like, especially if you're somebody who, like, not meal preps, but like plans the morning of, you're like, okay, I'm going to take out this for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And you take out the filet. You're like, oh man, it's going to be good tonight.
Yep. Absolutely.
Can't wait for it. I think the only one I missed, and it kind of goes along with like the Thanksgiving one, sitting down in a comfy chair with a blanket and a bowl of popcorn for a long, like, football game or movie.
Oh, that's
a
good.
Great feeling. Like that initial sitting down, you're like, I'm in it for the long haul.
Yep. Oh, 100%. 100%. Wait, before we go, one more. It just came to top of my head too. You're just your birthday. I feel like your birthday all day long. Some people are like, I'm not a big birthday fan. I love my birthday. I love when people shoot me text saying happy birthday. It makes you feel good. It's kind of like it's your day. You have one day of the year. It's your day.
Exactly. I could get down with that as well, because I wouldn't consider myself a huge, like, I don't need to have a huge celebration for the birthday, but you're right.
Yeah.
Like, just getting those texts and seeing a couple people and, you know, going out and celebrating is awesome.
There you go.
It's lovely. All right, everybody. That does it for this episode of Out of Our League. Remember, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and tell your friends and family that we're super cool to listen to as well.
Please.
If you want, but you
should. You need to do it, actually.
All right, Benny, it's a pleasure.
All right, good seeing you, brother.